Hello, and welcome to this live recording from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. So sit back, listen in, and enjoy what God's got to say to you.
Our Father, we thank you that because of the cross, our chains are gone, and we are set free. Thank you, Lord, that the stone was rolled away, not to let you out, Lord, but to let us in. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, the stone was rolled away, not to let Jesus out, but to let you and I in. Wow. Amazing grace. Friday, if you were here, you would have heard about being established in the love of God, being rooted in the love of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he did on the cross of Calvary. And then because of what he did, we are now empowered. And so Paul, in this final section, cries out with a great, what we call doxology, a great exclamation of praise and honor to God. It's as if he raises up his hands and says, wow, 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 God is awesome. He tried to explain to us how amazing this love of God is, and it was hard for him to put into words the amazing love of God. He tried to tell us that with words, he tried to help us to try and understand and measure what is immeasurable and to try and know what is unknowable. And then these last two verses at the end of Ephesians chapter 3, he almost throws up his hands and says it in words as much as he possibly can. And through after this bursting forth of praise, we read from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. He says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. In the message, it says it this way. God can do anything. I think he missed out, wow, in brackets there. Instead, he put there, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams, exclamation mark. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh, yes! Exclamation mark. What is Paul saying to you and to me today? Well, firstly, I think he says that God is able to do the superabundant. To do the superabundant. He writes to us and he says that God, as much as he possibly can explain in words, God is able to do way more than we can ever try and imagine. And he uses words that almost bring about confusion to try and explain in human terms something that is superabundantly godly. And he says, God is able to do amazing stuff. Above and beyond all things. The word he uses for able is the word that is the same word for power, dyname. And he says, God is the God of power. God is the God who is capable to do hyper perissos. Wow, that's a mouthful, but it's simply saying exceedingly abundantly, very highly, beyond measure, superior, more than we can ever try and fathom or understand. And he simply doesn't have adequate language to try and explain how awesome God is. And so he uses adjectives to try and describe God's power. So as you sit here tonight, you kind of think, well, you know, how great and how awesome is the love of God? Well, that very same love that put Jesus Christ on the cross, the love of God the Father that sent Jesus to the cross for your sins and for my sins, is the same love and the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. And that stone was rolled away and the tomb is empty, not to let Jesus out, but to let you and I in to taste that love that is beyond measure, because God is able to do amazing things in your life and in my life. You see, Paul's point here is that God is able, God is powerful. To do what? Well, I don't know how you pray, but sometimes I have doubts when I pray. So you go, well, what, Christofides, why pray in that case? Well, because, you know, it's kind of the right thing to do, and it helps me try and understand what I want or what I'm praying for. But Paul kind of tries to help us to put it into perspective, and he says, God is able to do way more than we think is possible. So whenever we doubt, and doubt begins to creep in, we must realize that God is able. God is capable of doing way more, super abundantly, more than we can imagine, more than we can ever fathom or try and understand of what he can do. I don't know if you've ever been in a hopeless situation and you think, well, there's nowhere out. You know what, I'm over, it's finished. And then in desperation we cry to God. Well, friends, next time you pray, realize that God is able and God is so powerful that he wants you and I to pray more than we can ever think or imagine. Now, I don't think Paul would say, you know, dream about that Ferrari or that Harley Davidson and picture it in your driveway. Yes, yes, yes. That's not what he's saying. But perhaps he might be saying that same power that rose Jesus from the dead is the same power that is available because God is able, because God is powerful, because God is capable to save that person that you and I have written off. God is an amazing God who can touch people's hearts. God is the same God that is able to change people around. In fact, Paul is very personal because Paul was a washout. Paul was a loser when it came to Christianity. In fact, the Bible says that he was going around, and Luke uses the word in Acts, Paul was sniffing out Christians so he could wipe them out. If you were not a Jew and you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you were a Gentile. The Bible says, and Luke uses a word that means, it's the same word that a sniffer dog sniffs bones out. Paul was going around sniffing Christians out. And God changed him. God touched his life. That very God who raised Jesus from the dead is the very God that is able to do super abundantly more than we can ever imagine or think. So that person that we've written off, let's reconsider that God is able to change their lives. The way God changed Paul's life. The way that God changed my life. The way that God changed your life. God is able. Wow. He is an awesome God. So next time we pray, may we pray with courage. May we pray knowing that God is an amazing God. Hyper perisos, above all, beyond all we can ever think or imagine. May we not write people off, because God is an amazing God. And so he has empowered you and he has empowered me. That very super abundant working God is in our lives every moment of the day if we believe in him. Secondly, God is not operating from a distance. Remember the song that Bette Midler sang, "From a distance God is watching us"? No way. God is not watching us from a distance. God is busy with activity in his people. Read the second part of verse 20 there. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." Within us. You see, we often think, well, God is sometimes losing the plot, and he might be just operating from a remote distance away. But when we think about what God has done, he is able to do amazing things in your life and in my life. If you think about the local church and how people stand up and testify, they give witness to what God has done in their lives. It's not because God is way out there. It's because God is busy with his activity in people's lives. And so that very same God that is busy in people's lives is the very same God that is able to do amazing things. He's the same God that saves people, that transforms people's lives, that changes people. We've just come out of a series called Metamorphosis. The very God that transforms your life and my life is the God that is active in the world today. And I pray that he's active in your life and in my life. He's the God who reconciles people back to himself. He's the God who brought Paul out of his stupidity to the kingdom of God. And you know, God actually has a sense of humor. The very Gentiles that Paul was persecuting and hated, God makes him an apostle to them. Not to go and speak to his own people, he did that too. But he makes him an apostle to the Gentiles. Well, God must have a sense of humor. He goes and he tells people about Jesus. I don't know about you, but we can often think, well, you know, God, I'm not too sure if you can participate in this person's life or in somebody else's life. He does participate in our lives. And he's very active in his participation in our lives if we believe in him. And so he continues to work in our hearts and in our minds. And Paul says his power that is at work within us. That word power again is the word dynami, power, that ability, that strength. That God is able to do amazing things. He says that is that the power that is at work, that is operative and effective. And the word that Paul uses might be where we get the English word energy from. Not the new age movement kind of energy, and may the force be with you. No, the power of God that is able to work and be active. And the word that he uses there, an energia, is that is operative and effective in your life. Not so you can walk around as a loser, no. So you can be a winner, because we're more than conquerors because of what Jesus Christ did. And so as we are established, we begin to have spiritual desires, and God empowers us with his power to be effective in our lives today. Stone was rolled away, not to let Jesus out, but to let you and I in. And as we're established in him, we are empowered to do amazing things. And then finally, God is to receive all the fame. And so Paul writes, verse 21, he says, "To him be the glory." That word glory means splendor, majesty, praise, honor, and fame. To him be all the fame, because he's able to participate in your life and in my life. And so we've got to look up and shout this praise as Paul did, because he's the one that took us from a place of enmity with God into being part of the family of the kingdom of God. And so he wrote that he said earlier that the Ephesian church in chapter 2, he says, they were foreigners and aliens, but now they are friends and part of the family of God. It is Christ who reconciled us through the love of God the Father, and that very same reconciliatory power is available to you and to me tonight. And so we gather here not because it's Sunday evening. We gather here because we know that he is risen, that the tomb is empty, and that Jesus is active in the world today. And where do we see that? Well, we see it in the church. It's evident because Jesus is glorified in the church. He's glorified in the lives of people. No matter where we are in the world, one thing that certainly unifies us is the love of God. And that empowers us to do what? To bring him fame. You see, the word glory is the same word for fame, but also presence. And so as we begin to realize the presence of God in our lives, that he is the God that is able to do amazing things, the only response we have is to glorify him. And so when we stand and we sing, Lord, we glorify your name, we're actually saying, God, we sense your presence and we lift praise and adoration and fame to you. In our church, in our lives, in our town, in our city, in our state, in our nation, and even to the ends of the earth, may your name be glorified. May your name be glorified. In fact, in the next chapter, in chapter 4, verse 3, he urges the church to be united in a bond of peace. It's an amazing word there where he talks about that bond. It's like ligaments that are tied together. Why? Because God allows that to happen. No one else. We might not like people that are near us. Perhaps their hairstyle or whatever, you know, what they do and what they don't do. But one thing is certain, what unites us is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that empowers us. It gives us courage. It gives us strength to be able to love one another in the body of Christ. And so, perhaps you're sitting here tonight, you feel a bit weak in the spirit. Let me encourage you to be empowered. Perhaps you've got something that is huge ahead of you. Take courage, my brother, my sister. Take courage because God is able. That son, that daughter, that mother, that father, that brother, that sister, whoever it might be, listen. God is able. He can do amazing things. You know, there is proof because Jesus rose from the dead. Wow, what a small thing for him to do to bless you and I if he can raise his son from the dead. May we never think that God has lost his sell-by date and passed it. No, God is an amazing God that can do amazing things. No wonder Paul writes, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His spirit deeply and gently within us. And so friends, as his spirit works gently within us, his presence gently within us, we can only respond in one way. Glory to God in the church. Fame to God in the church. Fame to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. And fame down all the generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh, yes. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Lord, thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for the empty tomb. Thank you, Lord, that the stone is rolled away, not to let you out, but to let us in. And for that, we're grateful. Lord, we give you praise, honor, and adoration this evening for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, Amen. Friends, we're going to have communion together now, and I want to read you something from John chapter 20 before we have communion together. It says in John 20, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary of Magdala went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. Listen to this. He saw the strips of linen lying there, and then verse 7, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. You kind of wonder why verse 7 is quite articulate and quite specific about that folded piece of linen. Well, somebody sent me this and I'd love to read it to you, please. Why did Jesus fold the linen burial cloth after his resurrection? The Gospel of John in chapter 20, verse 7 tells us that the napkin which was placed over the face of Jesus was not just thrown aside like the grave clothes. The Bible takes an entire verse to tell us that the napkin was neatly folded and was placed separate from the grave clothes. Every Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter, the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and I don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple ran to the tomb to see. The other disciple outran Peter and got there first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen cloth lying there, but he didn't go in. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying to the side. Was that important? Absolutely. It is really significant, is it? Yes. In order to understand the significance of the folded napkin, you have to understand a little bit about Hebrew tradition of that day. The folded napkin had to do with the master and servant, and every Jewish boy knew this tradition. When the servant set the dinner table for the master, he made sure that it was exactly the way the master wanted it. The table was furnished perfectly, and then the servant would wait just out of sight until the master had finished eating, and the servant would not dare touch that table until the master was finished. Now, if the master were done eating, he would rise from the table, wipe his fingers, his mouth, and clean his beard, and would wad up that napkin and toss it into the table. For in those days, the wadded napkin meant, "I'm done." But if the master got up from the table and folded his napkin and laid it beside his plate, the servant would not dare touch the table, because the folded napkin meant, "I'm coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back." And friends, this evening, we have communion together. The Bible says we do this until He comes. Until He comes. We have different traditions of what we call communion. Some call it communion. Some call it Holy Communion. Some call it the Table of Remembrance. Some call it the bread and the wine. Some call it the Eucharist. Well, the Eucharist means good grace. And as we look at the cross, we see good grace. If we look at the empty tomb, we see good grace. But we only do this until he comes back. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Same night he took the cup of the new covenant. This is the blood that was shed for you and for me for the remission of sins. And we only do this in remembrance of him and until he comes. That napkin has been folded, it's put aside. He's on his way back. May we know that and may we be empowered by that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your body that was broken for us. Thank you, Lord, that you went to the cross of Calvary. Lord, you suffered, you died. But Lord, you rose again, and we celebrate that today. Lord, may we not be found guilty of just celebrating it once a year, but may we celebrate it every day of our lives that you have risen, Lord, that our sins have been forgiven, and we can enter into your presence, Lord, and make your name famous. And so, Lord, as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we do this in remembrance of you until you come back. Be made famous through our lives, we pray. To you be the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. If you'd like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, then you can contact the team at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church by calling the office during office hours on 9329 1777. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to your company again soon. God bless.